Welcome to Highway Diary. This is episode 191. I'm your faithful and loyal host, Eric Hollerbach. Thanks for joining me again. You know, this is a crazy episode. This is episode 191 with Ryan Malofchek, but I also speak to Brett Rose and other people on the phone. Now, this episode is the sequel episode to 161, which is my meltdown. If you listen to that episode, I get cheated on by two different girls in a row, and I realize that there's levels of cheating. Now, a level one cheat is when a girl cheats on you, or a guy cheats on you, with someone you don't know. They have no idea who you are. Now, they have no loyalty to you, so they don't even know you exist. So then it's your partner who is, in my opinion, legally 100% in the fault. You know, if every cheating is a court case, you know, that's how I look at it. Level two is when it's someone who knows both of you, but isn't friends. Friends is a big word for me, you know. Level three is a friend. So someone that you both hang out with, you're cool with all of them, you hang out, everything's cool. They come over your house, you go over their house. A friend who intimately knows that you are married or have a girlfriend, that wants that girlfriend and will be kind of protective of them, and then that protection turns into a possession. And, you know, my friend John Rowe came up to me and told me, oh, you know, your girlfriend, she was making out with a dude in a bar at the Lost Love Lounge. And I was like, what the fuck? Was it a comic? Because all the comics knew me, for sure. So I'm going, is this a level two, a level three cheating? What's going on? And John was like, no, it's just some random guy. I've never seen him before. I don't know. So that made me just go, okay, it's this random dude. He doesn't know I exist. My girlfriend put herself in this crazy situation. She's making out with another dude. It's her fault. I can easily break this relationship and move on with my life. I'm not losing a girlfriend and a friend at the same time. Well, you'll hear this story. Anyway, who likes the Smiths? This song is kind of dog shit, but it's also kind of good, you know? I kind of like the lyrics. The song is cool. Bang, boom, boom, bang, boom, boom, doo. You know, you're riding through an electric highway. But his voice, good Lord. Nothing in particular. I am human and I need to be loved. And that's the battle cry of the codependents. Anyway, here's a phone call with me and Brett DeRose. You know, I hold grudges, Brett. I don't forget things, you know?
You are very good at that, yes.
If someone wrongs me, they go on my shit list basically for their whole life. You know?
This is true, yes.
I don't fuck around. I don't like a lot of bullshit in my life. I don't like liars. And, you know, I've been banned from multiple comedy clubs. I got banned from a screenwriting group called Deadline Junkies. But anyway, I have a caustic personality. But one thing I remember, I had this girlfriend I loved a lot in high school, you know? Spring break, me and my family went to Florida. I think we stayed in a Sheraton with one of Kevin Annette's side pieces or something. She went to Cancun to do this, like, band cruise thing, you know? With all the band kids, they had a choir thing. So they sang, America is beautiful, and they got to go to Cancun, you know? So fucking, you know, we were so, like, crazy, we would write each other journals every day. So every day I was in Florida, I wrote like a love letter in a journal to my girlfriend because I was such a fucking faggot. You know what I mean? And she had a journal too. This was our little high school thing. She was coming home. I was in the Westmore Central parking lot, and I knew when she was landing. So I put flowers in her car, okay? I got flowers. I put them in her car, and I put my journal, my faggy little poem journal that I wrote with my family in Florida. I'm with my family. I miss you so much. You know, I wish we were together, but I'm on vacation in a white privileged little vacation. You know, that's what I was writing every day. And so I leave the flowers and I'm just like staring. You know, I see this coach pull up, this bus pull up, you know, all the kids get out. She goes back in her car. You know what I mean? Oh my God. She sees the flowers. She sees the note. Whatever. I knock on the window. Hi, my darling. Hi, my love. You know, she opens the door. I get in my car, you know, and I'm like, hey, it's so good to see you. And she just starts crying. I was like,
not a good sign.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, pray tell, what has happened? And she goes, you know, she's like, Brandon Eggert told me not to tell you anything. And I go, told me not to tell me what? And she goes, look, I got drunk in Cancun. And Dave was with me, and he was taking care of me, making sure that the mariachi band didn't stick their fingers in my butt, you know. And then we're all drunk. We get back on the cruise ship, you know. And I'm so sorry. I was like, what? And she's like, well, we just kind of slept in the same bed. I was like, what? What happened? What do you mean you slept in the same bed? And she was like, yo, you know, I was just drunk, and I just passed out, and he slept on me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was 16 years old, I would probably get like 482 boners in a night. You know what I mean? You don't cuddle your boner on another guy's girlfriend.
At 16 in high school, that's pretty rough. I think you probably officially grew up that day.
Well, no.
Well.
That's when my brain broke and I became codependent and paranoid about girlfriends my whole life.
Ouch. I go about things the wrong way. I am human and I need to be
loved. Just like everybody else does. With my good buddy Ryan Malofchek. How's it going, bud?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. We just had a little Yoshinoya. You know, I'm trying.
So you're gassy?
I feel great. How was the chowder?
Excellent and small.
Yeah? Well, you lived in Boston for
white
a while.
White and small, just like I like.
what are you talking about?
Chowder.
Buttholes?
Just chowder.
All right.
Buttholes would be good, too.
You, speaking of buttholes, you go to China a lot for business.
Indeed.
What's going on over there? What's the difference, like, culturally? You walk around America, you know, there's girls, especially in Los Angeles, Malibu broads. You know, they're expensive, they're snooty, you know what I mean? What's China like? Just like, what are the people like?
Everybody's very nice and, you know, they speak Chinese, so I don't know that much about them, other than the fact that...
Do you always walk around with a translator?
I have, when we go over there for work, a lot of it is factory-based, so there are liaisons or handlers that we work with directly that act as our translators and... are, you know, often caretakers. We get rides a lot of places, but then it's like, all right, well, now I want to go out. And then you're just kind of, you can spend a night or a weekend and fully immerse yourself in the culture, which is excellent. And usually when I'll meet any locals that actually speak English, they are super nice, welcoming. They just want to ask questions about things because they're really curious, especially when you go to places where they don't see Westerners often.
Now, I heard from an unknown source, who also travels to China a lot, a previous guest of this podcast, that it's like a police state. You know, the cops, they're terrified of another Tiananmen Square. Everyone's kind of on edge. They're bad drivers.
These things are true. there's definitely, I mean, it's a communist country, you know. It's the People's Republic of China, and there's all kinds of amazing political things going on there, and really, what I think you'll see eventually happening is as the government starts to give their people more freedoms slowly, and also start to rein in how they've been destroying their environment for so long. Really, they've, since the days of Mao, it might have been his 100-year plan or something, where they actually really sacrificed generations of people and their environment for generations so they could become the dominant world power by collecting many, you know, most natural resources and educating their youth overseas and then bringing them back there with lucrative grants for research. And they're doing a lot of very, very intelligent things, but they're also exploiting their people while they're doing it. And as their people become aware of it, they're already, you know, they're having issues, and they also try to hide what, you know, those issues.
Are they learning from the internet? Do they have, like, a full internet? Or
well,
is
they,
it censored?
They absolutely are censored social media-wise, but what the government will, you know, governments will always have a hard time controlling is once they figure out a way to shut down an information stream, another one pops up. And then there's things like VPN. Can't really control any of those. I mean, even when I go to places like China where there's restricted access to social networks, I can use a VPN, proxy out to somewhere like Singapore, and have no problem going on Facebook or whatever. And when these locals figure that out and they get unrestricted access to information, it's kind of interesting what can happen, you know?
I think that's going on in the U.S. too. You know, for a long time, the CIA was running a lot of the newspapers in something called Project Mockingbird. I mean, Anderson Cooper, for example, was trained by the CIA. And then, you know, you're just regurgitating the corporate line so that we can, you know, have a fake war to steal, you know, oil from Iraq and rare earth minerals from Afghanistan.
Absolutely.
You know?
But, you know, I guess there's different types of the way that governments exploit their people.
Yeah. How bad was the pollution over in China?
Depending on where you go, it's anywhere from fucking horrible to absolutely fucking horrible.
Oh, really? Is there litter everywhere, too?
Depends what you mean by litter, because sometimes a city that looks like a first or a third world city looks like nothing but litter. And I've been to places like that, and 3 years later, a place that was a third world looking city with mopeds and bicycles and dirt roads and you know, people not wearing pants, 3 years later, there were Audi dealerships and outdoor escalators. You know, so
it's westernizing at an alarming rate?
Yeah, so there's no chance for these people to learn how to function in a more rigid, structured, clean society. So you kind of throw these wild animals into a polished first world environment, and shit's chaotic. It's fascinating.
Do mainland Chinese people just, like, shit on the floor, like, wherever they are?
Only in roadside restrooms, yes. Intentionally.
Roadside restrooms?
Yeah. Well, like, you know, like a roadside, like, a rest stop or something.
And
like,
then they poop on the floor
I mean,
it?
Well, there are just holes in the ground anyway, with, like, porcelain holes and toilets to sit on. So.
Do they flush with water?
Not really, no.
How bad do they
There's
smell?
All kinds of different gnarly, non, you know, hygienic codes going on. So, you just gotta go with it.
I remember something interesting. I was living in Koreatown, and I think you first moved to Los Angeles, and I gave you the keys to my apartment, and I sent you a text. I said, hey, I left the keys here. You go into my apartment. I'm like, all right, I'll be there. You know, my apartment is 1G or whatever. I'll be there in 15 minutes. You got there early, and you hacked into my computer. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay.
Also, it wasn't when I first moved to LA. It was one of my. It was probably around 2011 or 2010, believe it or not. That's when that occurred.
Yeah, that's true.
It was one of my first trips to Asia, and that was around that time frame.
Oh, so you
just
left.
Solid 8 years ago.
I know, dude. We're so old.
I know.
What's going on with you? Are you thinking, like, you know, you want to retire soon and just snowboard and eat pussy, or what's your plan?
I mean, ideally, sure, but it's not realistic, so the idea is
We haven't even said you're a CAD designer and an engineer. You know, you design things like helmets and snowboards and all kinds of cool stuff, and then a lot of the manufacturing is done in China, so that's why you go there, right?
That's accurate, for the most part.
But you get to travel all over the place and see cool stuff.
It's true.
You went to Thailand.
Several times.
And you watch some Muay Thai fights.
True.
How old are the participants?
They start with the youngest and least experienced. And I believe what we were told was about 14 or 15. And, you know, how they acquire these individuals is also kind of interesting.
They're on a boat.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they just go up to northern villages and yank kids. And
no, say, well, I hear that there's a lot of, like, orphans or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Thai gyms take in kids and kind of...
Right.
It's like the army or whatever.
Yeah.
Are they wearing any headgear at all?
They wear the traditional, whatever, well, only... No protection of any sort, no.
Right.
But they wear the traditional... whatever that headdress piece
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like the flowers.
And they take it off, you know, after they do their ceremonial
dance.
Dance or, you know, ring blessing or whatever that may be. And then...
you praise Father Muay Thai.
And then once the ceremony's over, the headpiece comes off, and then it's just some adolescent kids and some trunks, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Wild stuff.
Unbelievable.
Let me show you the picture.
It's my great aspiration to, like, smoke, even though I don't smoke cigarettes, but I want to smoke, and I want to get a big beer, and I want to bet on some Muay Thai fights, man.
It's pretty easy. The hardest part is taking the flight to Bangkok. It's really not that bad, though, once you get there. Everything's super fucking cheap.
Yeah.
And Thailand probably has, anywhere that I've been, at least in countries I've traveled to, has the nicest people I've ever met, primarily probably because it's a Buddhist-based society.
Yeah. Everyone's cool.
So nice.
Yeah.
Too nice to do business with, where they don't say no and they should, and they end up fucking you over 6 months down the line.
What do you mean?
They don't want to disappoint you, so they say yes to everything, and they take on too much, or...
And they can't do it, like, business-wise?
They'll tell you the truth as long as it's you know, positive and good. They won't tell you the truth if it's bad.
So if they haven't made enough helmets to meet the fucking quota, they'll just say, oh, yes,
we got it figured out. Yeah. We shipped them, don't worry about it.
Did you tell me a story where your brother in high school circle jerked with his buddies, with his male friends?
No, I'd heard that was a thing with some teams in high school actually doing hazing rituals, but that may or may
like the football team?
I believe it was more possibly wrestling.
Okay.
It sounds more accurate.
You gotta grease them up before if you really want to play.
That's what I recall.
Interesting. Did your brother join the CIA, the intelligence community at all? What does he do?
My brother?
Yeah.
My brother works as a civilian contractor for the U.S. Army, doing contract acquisitions for research and development projects.
What does that mean?
Basically, he takes a bill of materials for something that was developed by the Army, figures out from their approved list of vendors who can make it and negotiate the most fair possible price.
He's not doing that good. You know how much the DOD spent this past 2017?
You gotta fill the budget.
$853 billion when it would take $205 billion for.
I'm pretty sure from the perspective of their department and what they're supposed to do, as long as you use all the money you're supposed to, you're doing your job.
As long as everyone gets their dick sucked and they build some kind of hyperloop at the end of the day,
that's more or less
a secret underground bunker to house the perpetrators of a grand theft of the U.S. middle class.
Generally, yeah.
Do you remember going to prom?
No, because I didn't go.
You didn't go to any of them?
Nope. Never went to a prom early.
I went sophomore and junior year. Oh, you know what I want to talk about? Remember that trip we took to Woodward?
Yeah.
And met Dave Mira, who killed himself 2 years ago?
I do remember.
Do you remember Dave Mira a little bit?
Of course I do. Met him multiple times. Great guy. Super nice. Gave us all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Nothing bad to say about him, period.
I know, but do you want to say any words about, like he was a manic competitor.
Oh, of course.
He won how many gold medals in the X Games? Like, more than anybody.
14 or something.
In vert and street. And he was obsessed. And I think that when he was 44, maybe he just, his body couldn't do the same stuff.
I believe he had CTE.
Yeah, concussion disorder?
Yeah. But also, what you're saying is when, you know, relegated to being off of your bike, which is more or less taking away, you know, what he thought was like taking away his legs almost.
Of course.
Massively depressing. Yeah. Absolutely. But he had everything. He had a lot to live for. He had kids. He had a wife. That type of depression, undiagnosed, really would come from smashing your head for 25 years.
I don't know. I can't remember that many. Wow. That's beautiful. A Thai boxing fight. That's so fucking cool, dude.
It was very cool.
Ugh.
I saw some of those in like illegal smokers where we had gym fights at an undisclosed gym that I used to go to because it's super illegal. But, you know, Muay Thai fighting is very exciting. But, you know, we wore shin pads and stuff because there was no EMTs around. Just like, oh, that's the temple where it happened?
So, no, they do this that stuff in large arenas, but it only really happened sanctioned in a couple of places.
Mm.
That I forget what the name of that arena was. But.
Dan Everson, his mom worked for AT&T.
Correct.
And she fucking hooked us up hardcore. We went to Philadelphia one time.
X-Games.
And at the X-Games, and we saw Matt Hoffman do a 900 no-hander.
Mm-hmm.
We got to meet everybody. I remember talking to... what's his name? Koji Kraft.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember any more names from back then? Colin...
McKay. Dennis Colin McKay. McKay. And then all the skaters.
Ryan Nyquist. Mm-hmm. And Dave Muir. We hung out with them. That was pretty fucking cool.
That's excellent. Very, very cool childhood memories.
I remember one time, though, we were playing a little Sublime in the car on the way to Woodward. Shut your mouth, we're gonna do it my way. Rape, I'd never get laid. Miss Everson just...
Oh, yeah, she, doop, did, doop. She did not like that context.
She just turned it off immediately and just looked at Dan like he was a fucking crazy person. Was Dave Muir a little weird, though? I remember when we were talking to him that he was kind of just like...
He's corporate. He's business-oriented. You know, he had to preserve a certain image and probably do certain things he didn't like with a smile on his face and go through a routine. I saw him kind of as one of the pioneering kind of corporate athletes that, you know... For at least from a action sports perspective, there wasn't a whole lot of that going on at the time. You know, you had some of these big stars or whatever, but they didn't have the personalities to be able to go make money with corporations like AT&T.
Yeah.
It was sort of a first class of those guys.
Right.
And he was one of those first guys to do that. And
yeah.
Then you got, after that, things like sponsorships with, like, Shaun White and Target were possible because the model was then pre-established. I could be wrong. Maybe there were others that I'm not thinking of, and surfing and skating, most definitely, but for a long time, I think corporations thought that alternative lifestyle sports may be a risky thing to invest money in.
Now, we're talking about 2002, 2003, 2004, kind of, you know, 2001.
Yeah.
Maybe
we're,
one
we're,
and two.
We're talking, yeah, we're talking about anywhere from 2000 to 2004. And
but I remember that Dave Mira was saying, he was like, he saw some guy in, like, 1995 do a truck driver. That's a 360 bar spin on from a dirt ramp to a dirt landing and land it. And he's like, that's the only guy in the world that can do that. With Woodward, which is a training camp in the middle of Pennsylvania that has vert ramps and all the stuff to train on with foam pits so you can practice, that there's like probably 3,000 people that can do that.
It's way more now. I mean, way more. Kids are literally, there's 17-year-old kids that'll do it straight up off the ground in a bunny hop, 360 bar spin. Just from the ground.
That's fucking ridiculous.
But like, what's actually happening now, I don't know if you've looked at any sort of contemporary embodiments of that sport. It's kind of scary and stupid how good, you know, little kids are.
Yeah, like, and just seeing, like, double tail whip backflip shit.
Well, it's amazing, the combination.
Talking about Garrett Reynolds. He has won this thing 8 out of 9 times it's been contested. He has been extremely dominant in the field. And last year's performance, he won by 11 full points. That was the difference between gold and silver last year in X Games Austin. That's how good this guy is when it comes to BMX street.
He wrote the book when it comes to this contest right here. And Garrett's another New Jersey person. He's from my skate park.
Look, Garden State's getting some love today,
really,
Scotty.
Are. This is amazing. I'm actually pretty blown away by this. But so far, so good. There's an ollie truck driver up the gap, opposite tail whip.
Would anybody be making the kind of money at skateboarding they are if there wasn't, like, a Tony Hawk? You know, like, Dave Muir was exactly the same thing for BMX. He was, like, the first, like, unstoppable athlete. Like Travis Pastrana was for motocross. You need these,
very,
like...
Very much so. You know,
outliers who just kill it.
Yep. Fierce competitors that progress and also are marketable, so they draws attention to the sport and brings more money and sponsors and then more participation.
Yeah.
So these things stay alive, how they grow.
But Travis Pastrana tried to do a 360 backflip in the best trick competition at the X Games, and he broke all sorts of bones again, and now he's done.
Mm.
That
did rally car for a while.
Yeah.
Really cool, though.
Yeah, and he had Nitro Circus on MTV, and then they made a movie, and then one of the people who they were making a movie with, like, suffered a spinal injury during the filming.
Mm.
It's so dangerous.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then, you know, you have the jackass guy, Ryan Dunn. Well, that was more of a drunk driving accident.
Yep.
But these thrill seekers, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you live on the razor's edge.
It's got to be a, you know, calculated risk system of checks and balances.
Yeah.
That's how I've managed to not do anything too stupid.
But you snowboard.
I do.
Some pretty dangerous places, I imagine.
The more dangerous, usually the better, yeah.
Calculated risks. We got to go to the trampoline place, man. We got to go to Sky Highs.
I'm down at some point, man. I just got to fit it into a, you know, schedule of adult shit I got to do.
You were part of a gang in high school. It was called Wolfgang Destruction.
Yes, it was.
What was the initiation?
It had nothing to do with what you think it does. There was no initiation period.
No, you had to do a manual for a large section of Hastings Square. You had to do a wheelie.
Spaces.
Yeah.
The amount of parking spaces was indeed a
What is benchmark. Wolfgang Destruction?
It's a mentality, really.
Kicking ass.
Based on pure suburban white bread ignorance, really.
We were pretty white privileged growing up.
Of course. We had no idea, obviously, until we got out of there, probably.
Yeah. We hung out for like 10 years on like a my trampoline.
Yep.
Pretty much.
It was a really safe bubble.
We could just drive up the street. We left a half a mile from each other when I chose trampoline. Hung out.
Now we're chilling in Canoga.
Canoga Park, California. Home of Screenwriter Services. Hey, if you're out there, you need a screenplay tweaked up, you know, from a guy who got his fucking master's degree, who got a 4.0 and two scholarships and shit. Go to screenwriterservices.com and schedule your appointment. We made a video for your dad one time about trampolines. You really wanted one in your backyard, and you were like, hey, I think if we make a little video, you know,
right,
like,
and I don't think that worked. I don't think anybody saw that video.
The video, I know, because, like, we made this video one afternoon of, like, hey, trampolines are safe. You know, you just get on the trampoline with your chums, and everything is safe. And then you're like, as I was editing that video or something, you were like, yeah, my dad, you know what he said today? That people don't get trampolines. You know why? Because there's lawsuits, people break their leg, and then you're owed.
And then I realized that there's only one thing better than owning a trampoline.
What's that?
Having a friend that owns a trampoline.
Just make his parents liable.
Yeah, dude. I don't have to fucking worry about it. You know, you have a friend that has a trampoline in your neighborhood, and you have a friend that has a boat. That's it. That's all you were, bro.
You motherfucker.
You were the trampoline guy.
Were you ever on my boat?
No. The one that you would bring out to whatever that...
yeah, there was a reservoir. Yeah.
Something wood.
Yeah, what was
Spring, that? Spruce Run.
Spruce Run, that's it. We would go to Spruce Run with a little sailboat that we kept on the top of my ship.
I hadn't been there.
It's pretty cool. One time we were there and it started hurricaning, and it was, like, really fucking intense. How far did you get with BMX biking yourself? You were doing bar spins at one time at skate parks, huh? Mm. You would go off a jump to a bar spin, land, boom. You ever get to tail whips?
How far did I get? Not like in the air. I wasn't really doing much of that. Mostly trying to land 360s smoothly. I had a lot of fun riding in half pipes, but mostly just flying out of them. You know, not really trying just to
catch them a little get later, off my doing bike. Doing the 180.
Yeah. Spinning small 540s in there. Nothing crazy high or anything. But then kind of went to college. Rode a lot of street out there. And how to focus on, you know, graduating.
Started getting serious about other things in life.
Right. There's a balance to it. I didn't have to leave action sports, and I was able to still able to, you know, work and participate in that space, which is great. But
that's cool. You're making helmets, and then you get to test it, and then you get a little corporate.
There's a lot of snowboarding ski lift. For it, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you snowboard in China?
No.
You go to Big Bear?
Depending on where, what times of, you know, when this may have occurred, like, I had done a lot of snowboarding and learning in Jersey early on. I did a lot.
You were in ski club, right?
No, I wasn't. Oh. Yeah, I started when I was about 16. And then I went to, I was working for Bern after college, and I got a lot of access to mountains in New England, and we rent a house with friends the last couple of years I was there, and probably ride like 30 days out of the year. Got to go out to Colorado a bunch of times. Got to snowboard in the Alps, which was cool.
The Swiss Alps?
Austria. And I accidentally snowboarded into Switzerland from there. There's a different flag on the bottom of this backcountry run, and we were in a different country. It was interesting.
Were Austrian girls sexy as fuck?
Absolutely.
Did you learn any German?
No. I was going to say un poco.
Ein bisschen. Did you find that when I was over there as an exchange student, you know what I mean? When I was 16 years old, we went to my host family stayed in Clayfeldt, and the German girls went after the American dudes.
Oh yeah,
you know,
if you're American and you're not a filthy piece of shit, mm-hmm. and you don't conduct yourselves the way that they expect you to from as an ignorant American, I've had a lot of just great interactions with girls pretty much everywhere I've traveled just because I'm American.
They were like, oh, it's so exotic. You guys are from America, like Hollywood, New York City, Mickey Mouse, right? Yeah. And we're like, yeah.
More or less. It's like when I travel to Asia, like people, whether they're expats like in Hong Kong and they're girls from like Australia or Canada, they're sick of just Australian dudes. They're like, cool Americans. They're not here. I go about things the wrong way.
Buddy, how you doing?
Good, man.
Brandon's actually here right now, man. Do you want me to put him on speaker?
Okay. Brandon Eggert.
What's up, buddy?
Wow.
Yeah, dude, you got fucking double trouble here, bro.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Did you have butt sex with in the 8th grade? Did I dream that? Is that real?
Dude. I absolutely did not, but I remember that was a rumor that got passed around. There was some talk of it at the time, like between her and I, but it never actually occurred.
Did you guys tie each other up, though?
What's that?
Did you guys tie each other up?
Oh, absolutely, man.
Brandon, care to comment?
Oh, no, I don't think Brandon was ever there for
it. Yeah, what grade
was that? No, I think it was 9th grade, actually.
How did you even remember that? Holy shit, man, I had forgotten about that.
It was when Brandon Egger told me that happened, I had a seizure. So it's memorable to me.
you remember, that rumor going around?
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
I definitely remember the rumor. I remember there was chains, there was whips and ball gags and all that stuff.
Everything with the ball gags was fairly accurate, yeah.
Is it true that you slept with one of my girlfriends in high school at in a cruise in Cabo or Cancun?
What? I don't think so. Which girlfriend are we talking about?
My main one in high school, on a choir cruise in Cancun.
Shit, dude, what are you talking about?
Yes.
That's absolutely not true. I never slept with
her. Not
that I just loved her. She was a good-looking girl.
Sex-wise, but, did you guys sleep in the same cabin or sleep in the same cot or something weird like that? I remember this happening.
I don't think so, man. I really don't remember. I remember we were on the cruise. I remember she was there.
Brandon Eggert, care to comment?
Dude, what's happening right now? Is this some sort of like confrontational phone call? You've been trying to get out of the way for I don't know how long?
15 years? Maybe something like that. There was something that bothered me. I had a weird nightmare the other day about things. And, I want to call you and ask you if that happened, because I thought it did.
Dude, listen, I have nothing but fond memories of you from high school. If I hurt you or you perceived me to hurt you in any way, I mean, let's talk about that, because maybe I owe you an apology for something that I don't remember doing, but I liked you a lot in high school, man, and I thought we got along, so this is coming as a bit of a shock to me.
I did like you too, but I remember that happening, and that was really creepy, so that's all.
Do you want to schedule a phone call for your podcast to, like, confront me about these long-standing things that have been upsetting you over the years? For 15 years, man? Holy shit, dude.
It is awkward. Very awkward. Ryan Malofchek is with me, by the way, and he's looking at his phone. It's mad awkward.
Hey, how's it going?
Malofchek? Oh, my God, dude. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know, man. How are you guys doing?
How are you doing? Are you part of the podcast?
Not really.
No, we were recording for a half hour before I called you.
Interesting.
We're going to call...
Okay. Well, hey, man. It's nice to catch up with you, too, dude. What are you up to?
Just hanging out, apparently. How you doing?
It's really awkward.
I'm good, man.
Let me call you back in.
You wanted to call me to catch up, and now I just feel like it's a little bit, well, I'll check. Sorry, bro.
No worries. I didn't really know what I was in for.
Let me call you back in like 45 minutes or a half hour, or I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah, man, let's catch up on this, on another day. It's been a real pleasure, and you guys have a great night.
Sorry for being so awkward. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let me tell you something about this. That totally did happen.
Okay.
It totally did happen.
All right.
Anyway, this one, that might totally be deleted from the episode.
I would recommend that.
He didn't admit to anything, and that's really it.
That was not the gotcha moment you would hope for, was it?
Not really. I mean, obviously it happened. It was like a big argument that happened in our relationship, like our biggest argument in our relationship, and which we argued about for like months, so it's like something I very much remember, because that was like a massive betrayal in the friendship, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with him not admitting it and like saying that I'm crazy, even though if it was 15 years ago... Look, if I had ever slept with a girlfriend that you had for a year and a half, I would fucking remember it.
Yeah.
But first of all,
Ryan,
that would just never happen.
No.
Right? Like the way me, you, Brett, and Jeff Reeves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a connection there where you don't really fuck with people's girls.
Like, it was like clear lines where it's like we knew we were super homies.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, maybe this is a little bit of, I just want to talk about friendship in general.
Bandwing beef?
I'm just saying, I left the group because I had the girlfriend, so I went to the bandwing, and there were, like, different ethics over there. There, people were dealing with other people's girlfriends all the time, you know what I mean? And it was more of a mixing. What's up, Brett DeRose?
Hey, yo, man. What's going on?
I'm sitting here with Ryan Malofchek.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
I'm excellent, Brett DeRose. How are you?
I am... doing quite well on this Tuesday evening.
How is the hour past nine treating you over there?
It is it's okay. I'm starting to wind down a little bit.
Is it cold or warm?
No, like it's gonna be 70 tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's warmer there than it is here in LA currently.
Wow, and we had like about like 8 inches of snow on Saturday night.
Really?
So kind of don't know what's going on, but. Pretty cool that it's warm.
Climate change is fake, bro. Fake news.
Either way, I don't really care if it's warm, so whatever.
Nice.
So, you got a little girlfriend, Brett DeRose.
I do.
And you just moved.
I did.
Are you living together?
I am.
Are you making love to each other?
I will let you use your imagination.
In what position, sir?
Whatever way you choose.
In what position and for how many minutes is the estimated duration for each position? Thank you. I'm taking notes. And go.
I don't know. I don't have a stopwatch.
I heard the rumor when I was in the bushes in front of house in 1999 when we were playing Manhunt. And I heard a rumor that Dad really liked scramble porn. When I looked in the window one time when I was hiding behind a bush playing Manhunt. Is that true?
That was an old oath, and I guess you've decided to tell.
I just broke the oath. And what was the oath that we took?
You came back to me and told, and I think it is accurate.
Hey, Brett, I thought about you. I thought about you recently with something very, very odd and specific from way back in the day, and I was curious as to whether or not I remembered it accurately, and okay. whether or not, if I did, you also remembered the same thing. Now, something recently, and this isn't that interesting, it's just really, really obscure, but something okay. recently spurred this memory that I had had. Now, I'm going to say a name to you, and I want to see if it conjures up any sort of memory of what may have also shared this name. But a guy recently started working at my company with the name of, you know, super, super specific, very, very uncommon name of Bob Jones.
Okay.
Does that ring any bells to you?
Did he graduate before me?
No, wasn't a person.
Oh. Damn, that sounds very familiar.
Do you remember the pond that you kept so tidily in the rear of your home?
Oh, yeah, and you had a turtle and some
porpoise?
I don't
know, a turtle, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Or a frog?
I believe it was, but I mean, I don't know what, I was probably like 13 or 14, 15 years old, haven't really thought about that, and then this guy's name plaque just appears in his office, Bob Jones, and I'm like, where have I heard that before? Oh yeah, Brett's random pet frog.
Brett's frog was Bob Jones.
And then, of course, I thought immediately thereafter of Billy Stovetop.
Billy Stovetop and Stove.
Oh yeah, I still have some of the shiz actually somewhere.
These were all great things that we decided to name after random objects, like that oven, and yes, Stew was
a grasshopper
submitted to a can of melted
crayons and candles
and crayons to make wax out of, and we saw this like huge caterpillar thing and dropped it in there. So.
Very weird, specific things.
Wow, how weird things have gone. Now you're living with a girl, you know what I mean? You were always the you were the late bloomer of our group, you know?
Yeah. I know.
There was this girl in high school I remember who was chasing you around all day, asking you stupid questions, you know? She was like, "Hey, what's up, Brett? Hey, let's get lunch together, you know? Hey, let's do it." She was in your grade, you know? I don't know I don't remember her name, but I remember this. And I saw her a few times. She was very sexy, and she was like, "Hey, what's going on, Brett? Hey, do you want to share lunch with me? I got crackers." And then she's like, "Hey, let's go to a dance or whatever." And you just like, well, no, she'd never asked you out, and you never asked her out. You were always very, I don't know, you were gun shy.
I can't say I know exactly what you're talking about, to be honest. But right.
You were gun shy, but now, living with the girl, look at you.
Yes.
Where do you live? Where did you move?
I am officially an adult.
Are you in Morristown?
We're in Morristown.
Where at? What area?
We're in this place called the Blair House. It's a 5-story apartment building.
Cool.
We've been here for about a week. It's you know, the town's not too big. It's just a few blocks from the green.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Happy to hear it.
Super cool.
Very cool. You gonna say hi to Kate for us?
Tell me about you guys. I haven't talked to Eric in a little bit. So, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, I did stand-up last night. I moved back to Los Angeles. I've been here since August 1st. I was basically living on Jeff Reeves' couch for most of August. And then I got a place, you know, and now I live somewhere in Canoga Park from September 1st.
Okay. Helping. Why did you stay in New Orleans?
You know, I got my master in screenwriting, and a lot of people did stay in New Orleans. And you know what they're doing? They're getting hit by a hurricane every year, and they're not selling any fucking screenplays. Mm. You know what I mean? You just have to live here if you're going to do what I do. Or New York City.
Gotcha.
So, when my lease is up, September 1st, there's a chance I could go back to New York City.
Okay. Nice, man.
So, in that case, Morristown's a very short MJ Transit ride away.
That is correct.
Brett, I will also be in the NJ area March 10th.
Definitely. I think the Morristown St. Patty's Day Parade is that weekend.
Oh,
so
fuck, really?
If you're around.
Well, I'll be rolling through there, and I don't have anything to do until Monday morning of that weekend, and I'll be landing early morning Saturday with out of plans, so just throwing that out there.
Yeah, you guys can circle jerk like wrestlers or something.
What?
Malofchek was telling me that the wrestlers on the high school wrestling team would circle jerk as an initiation. Have you ever heard that?
Oh. I don't think I heard that, but that doesn't sound that cool.
I think we brushed over something that I'm a little upset about. Now, he ran a tight ship. His kids had to like start practicing basketball at 5 a.m. And if we played basketball, God forbid, on a lowered hoop, they'd have to shoot 90 free throws from one angle on a higher basketball hoop, a 10-footer, to reprogram their shooting ability so that they can get in the NBA. Oh, and then they met black people and realized that that wasn't going to happen. But anyway, he ran a tight ship. And I always remember thinking, you know, one day I wish I could get a wife, you know, and a house. Because I remember how horny I was when I was 14. I'd be like, wow, it's so great. You know, one day you'll get a wife, you'll have a house, and you'll just live with her, and you'll have sex all the time. And then when I was watching him watch scramble porn from behind the bush while we were playing Manhunt in the front yard, you know, I really remember thinking, boy, life is just misery, you know? No matter, you can get a house in the hills, and your life is always just going to be masturbating to scramble porn with the outside appearance that you're a...
I didn't know you had such a sad realization in that moment.
I realized love wasn't real.
Bummer.
Was that officially the day you became weird?
Are you, like, recording this?
Yeah, I'm recording this. This is for my podcast.
I really don't want to talk about that.
That's on the record, Brett DeRose, so I've broken the oath. Boy, this is... It's been a... We had another awkward conversation earlier with...
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I think there's been
We did speak with Brandon Eggert as well, briefly.
Yeah.
Eric managed to somehow not offend him in 14 seconds that we were on the phone with the two of them. He focused mainly most of his attention on another band kid.
Did I change when I started getting a girlfriend in high school? I was hanging out with you guys exclusively, and then all of a sudden I start hanging out with the band kids.
You just liked hanging out with them because you thought you were the cool one over there.
Well, let's be honest, I was. Yeah, I was the king of the nerds. I could just step over the nerds. I was the king of the nerds. The jocks, you know, I was like the funny guy, you know what I mean? So like the jocks, they kind of respected me a little bit because like the Joey Sacco types, you know, they respect me because I was funny in class. But I'm not sure how much they liked me too much. But you guys were my best friends, you guys and Jeff Reeves. And then I got this girlfriend, I started hanging out with those guys. But those guys had different rules, you know. Like, they would trade girlfriends a lot because there was more girls in the band, and they would just kind of trade girls around, you know?
Interesting.
Different culture. We were like loyal soldiers.
Yeah, I don't think I was really friends with any band kids, but that's strange, I guess.
No, you were friends with Brandon Eggert.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was he in the band?
He was
like,
with.
Play anything, or was he just like in that crew?
He was in that crew. I think he played the tuba or some shit.
You just threw out the tuba, like that was the first.
I don't know what he played. No, I was always really good friends with Brandon Eckert, too. I went to Germany with him. I got no problems with him.
Like, I don't know. I thought you were discriminating a little bit against, you know, the horn, the trumpet.
What are you saying?
I don't know. You're a tubist.
Is that like a racist?
Meat tubist?
I don't know.
But...
Man,
no, we had a really awkward phone call. With you said, wait a minute, I have to think
someplace so far. Now, babe, the time has come. How'd you like to have a little fun? And she said, if we could only pace me on our way, I would not run. That's when things got out of control. She didn't want to. He had his face. She said, let's go. He said, no way. Come on, babe, it's your lucky day.
Cool. So I got mad at him, and I confronted him about it, and then he pretended that it never happened. Do you remember that?
Oh. That was you. Was this the girl that you were dating to migrate? I forget her name.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I think I totally forgot that. Wait, so you called this kid? Like, or when's the last time you talked to him?
5 minutes ago.
Okay, that's what I saw, but I was like, no, there's no way that.
It was mad awkward because he just denied it, and it was like a big problem in our relationship that we argued about for a month.
When's the last time you talked to him prior to this?
15 years.
So you randomly called this kid up, and that was part of your podcast?
Yeah, but he's got a podcast, so I had a cover story, but that's the only thing I really wanted to ask him. But I just think that we were on like a different level as with friends. There was more loyalty. It was like if someone in our friend group dated a girl, nobody would even talk to her ever again. You know what I mean?
I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that's why most of us are still friends right now. So.
There was just rules in the sand where it's like,
and then you had to weed out those friends that would make comments about your girlfriend or those of you who had sisters.
Right, right.
Like, oh, you're that kind of guy. You should probably not hang out here.
Oh, you're a piece of shit. I have no secrets. You know what I mean? When people lie about things and have secrets, I cannot deal with it. Probably from stand-up and shit, too. It's just like, I kind of just always say all my secrets, you know?
How long have you been, like, holding on to some of this stuff for? You've been out of high school for a little while.
I know. I had a therapist in New Orleans who said I had codependent personality disorder.
Oh.
And then I made love to him.
Did he diagnose the source of your mysterious, weird, eccentric guy accent that you got like 3 years ago out of nowhere?
I have a new accent now?
Of course you do.
Did you also only cuddle with him? Did you?
Yeah, that's the thing. I may have snuck a little Sunerco finger in his butthole. I can't remember.
Is that your name for your micro penis?
Yeah.
A Sunerco finger?
What were we saying? Yeah, I cuddled. I don't know. The story's confusing. What was the question? Oh, my accent. I was hanging out with black people in New Orleans for the last 3 years.
Okay, but then why do you sound like, I don't know, like you practice puppetry in a dark basement? You don't sound like a black dude. You sound creepy as fuck sometimes.
Yeah, I've never heard one black person that sounds like that.
Me either.
I don't know.
You're hanging out with, like, the latest black people.
Yeah, one was a puppeteer who showed me his dick all the time.
Apparently. That's exactly what you sound like.
He lured me into alleys every other Monday.
you sound like an exhibitionist puppeteer.
Like 2 years ago, you told me you like converted to a Jewish grandma.
So whoa, that is such a rumor. Hey, do you remember, Bretros, do you remember when we were sledding behind all the houses on Ann Street, Avenue or Ann Road? And,
Ann Road.
And then some guy tried to lure you in his car? Do you remember when some guy tried to lure you into his car?
Kinda, yeah. I also kind of exaggerated that because I was scared.
How were you scared? What happened?
I confessed to my mom not long ago, maybe a few years ago. It kind of like wasn't necessarily a lure. It seemed kind of sketchy. And then when the cops came to check it out, I got a little scared, and then I kind of exaggerated that somebody was really trying to lure me in.
Well, I remember you told me right when it happened. You went down the hill, right? You landed in some guy's driveway. Some guy pulled up in his driveway, and he just went, come here. Like, he just gave you the come here wave.
No,
that's it.
That didn't happen?
No.
It was more of, like, a sketchy, weird, like, car that I thought was, like, looking at us. And I thought they were like watching us being all like, you know, pervy and weird. And then I may have kind of exaggerated that they had said something along the lines of come closer to the car. Yeah, I confess. I confessed like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. Huge liar.
Unbelievable. Well, this has been a great reunion. Ryan's pointing at a timer. He's got to go. But let me say goodbye to Ryan and call you back in 5 minutes, Brett.
Okay.
I got to change out batteries anyway and say goodbye to Ryan, and then I'll have you for the rest.
Bye, Brett.
He didn't give me the confession I wanted. If he just said, if he just said, oh, you know, we just passed out in the same bed. It was like a queen size, you know what I mean? And accommodations were limited or whatever he would have said. Then I would have been like, eh, you know what? Why am I an asshole for bringing this up? But he just denied everything, and it just made me feel like Ryan's face started turning red. And he was just like, he's like, why are you doing this? It was 15 years ago, you know?
So how did you even have his number?
He gave it to me because I said I would plug his podcast. He just started a podcast with Brandon Eggert.
I will say there's probably not too many people from a high school that would pull a move like you just pulled. Congratulations.
I don't give a fuck. I want answers. I don't care if shit's super fucking awkward. And it's like, hey, Brett, can you ask me a question?
Yes.
Can you ask me if I've ever slept with any of your girlfriends?
Eric, have you ever slept with any of your friends' girlfriends?
No.
Ever?
No.
Did you ever attempt to lure any of them?
No.
To you?
It would just never happen.
That
it would just never happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I believe it. I lived it. You were that kind of person. I guess he was.
You know, there's like loyalty and friendship. I just feel like some of the friends I had in high school, you know what I mean? Like Brandon Eggert. A solid fucking guy. Jeff Reeves, a solid fucking guy. You gotta be a little careful of that guy when you have a super hot girlfriend.
Those were like quality trampoline talks.
Right. We would just like lay on the trampoline and stare at the moon and talk about girls for hours.
Yeah. And play dog balls.
And play dog balls. But I remember you were telling me about this other high school girl that was chasing you around. I was like, you gotta just fucking ask her at a certain point. I know it's gonna suck if she says no. But, you know, like, I was in high school, and, like, before I got a few girlfriends, like, probably, I asked out 9 girls, and they all said no, and it's, like, devastating. Because then, like, you're in science class, and, like, she walks in, and she just said no to you at lunch, like, fucking an hour ago. Like, where you're like, oh, will you be my girlfriend? And then she, like, took her minestrone soup and walked away and said, ew, no. You know what I mean? And then some girl walks into science class and you're just like, oh, fuck my life. I wish she would just die so I wouldn't have to see her. You know what I mean?
That's what separated some of us from you. That's what Eric did. I'm going to go for it.
I just kept asking.
Yeah.
I just adjusted my tie and I, you know, greased up my hair when I had some lovely hair. I just greased it up, you know? I spritzed some perfume on my face, you know?
And that's the Eric we all knew and loved very much.
But now I'm single. I'm living, you know, in a shitty apartment in Los Angeles. I just got my degree. I'm trying to sell some screenplays. You know, I'm starting over. I got no broads.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so that's solid. It's not like you didn't do anything. So you're exactly what you should be doing, and you're not going to get flooded. In fact, aren't you guys in, like, the opposite of a flood right now?
Say that one more time?
I said you're not going to get, won't have to deal with any flooding down in New Orleans, so that's good.
Oh, flooding.
Aren't you guys out in L.A., like, are you getting a little nervous out there with the water shortage?
That's interesting you say that. Yeah, you know, Lake Mead feeds both Las Vegas and Los Angeles. And, you know, back a couple of years ago, some NASA scientist was looking at photographs from space. Like, you know, we have... Yeah. And he was saying that we have, like, 18 months of water left. Well, since...
I remember that.
Was, like, 4 years ago. And that when I read that article, that scared the shit out of me. But we still have water somehow. I don't know.
That's good. You're not, where is it, South Africa? They're down to, like, I think April 15th or something. And, like, that's some scary shit.
Oh, yeah. Cape Town, Africa
or
something?
Yeah, I'm hoping, like, you know, hoping you guys aren't dead.
Yeah, that sucks. I don't know. I just think that maybe there's, like, underwater sources of water. Or, I'm sorry, underground. There's, like, underground springs. You know, I think that the city or the state of California kind of diverts. They have different reservoirs, and they can, like, you know, move it around, I guess. I don't know what the fuck they do. The water works.
That's all you need.
But Las Vegas is a big problem because they don't have any water and they feed off Lake Mead too, and they keep building new hotels and skyscrapers. And every time you build a fucking skyscraper, I mean, you're going to give up, you know, millions of gallons of water, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of don't care about things like that. just keep building.
Yeah, I know.
Hope for the best. But, hey man, I kind of got to get going, but I very much like this talk, and definitely give me a call again sometime soon. Let me know how everything's going. I hope your new start over in LA works out well.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, man. Maybe I'll see you in New York one of these years.
Is this the level at which this is conversation is going to be? This kind of mudslinging? It's disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself. Go away.